is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host this week is Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, listener.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I'm full of the joys of spring. Is that too early?
Are you?
Yeah, I'm like a little spring lamb.
Is this sap risen, has it?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I am 50 this year.
Oh, no, but that's what I was asking. You got a spring in your set. You
know,
gambling in the fields with the lambs, haven't you?
I feel like a spring lamb. Absolutely,
yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't mind a spring lamb, actually, with lots of mint sauce and a few potatoes. Yeah.
Charming, yeah. But apparently the word on the street, on the
vibe,
meteorological street,
right.
The beast from the east is going to hit us again the week after next.
Is that right?
So, it's too early to be getting excited.
When you were getting all street on me, I thought you were getting down and groovy. I thought you were going to do some in it, and weren't you?
No, definitely. Okay. I'll leave that to the younger generation.
Cool.
Yeah.
50 soon then.
Yeah, well, we don't want to talk about that. But
we do, because you're doing something special for your 50th birthday, aren't you? When you're 50 in May?
Yes, that's right, May, yeah. But birthday aside, what I am doing in my 50th year is raising money, which is not something I've ever done before. I don't know if any of our studio guests, we ought to bring our guests in quickly and just kind of introduce them.
I'll tell you what, why don't you introduce them then, Martin?
Yeah. So we've got Gareth from SNS Law with us today, based in firm solicitors, based in Maidstone. We've got Rob Young from IEC Cleaners, predominantly commercial cleaning contractors.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Rob. And we've got the lovely Rachel Bennett from Kent County Council, who Rachel is the program manager for a business grant funding program called Southeast Business.
Yep. Business. So. And we're looking forward to talking to all three of those lovely folks.
But going back, I don't know you guys, have you ever done any sort of serious fundraising? Or, I mean, it's new to me. Obviously I sponsor people and people that run the marathon and stuff like that, I get involved on that level, but I've never done anything myself. So this is
We did it a knockout a couple of years back.
Sounds like fun.
It was got very wet and very cold. but for some reason, they didn't run it the year after. I don't know if we did something wrong and put them off. But
what time of year did they do
it
that?
It was summer, but it decided to chuck it down. It was at Moat Park in Maidstone for Heart of Kent.
Sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? Inflatables and kind of water slides and stuff. What about you, Rob?
Well, we do the Stacey Smiles. They've been on your show, haven't we?
Yeah, Steve Nash.
Every year at Moat Park.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I get a few friends involved as well. So.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like to have a go at that.
Yeah, it's good. It's good fun. Great day out.
Bear me in mind.
Yeah. Well,
Rachel, how about you? Have you done a sort of London Marathon or anything like that? Or
no.
No, not yet.
I do more sponsoring of.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, that's kind of where I've been up until now. But this year I'm raising money for the MS Society, and I'm hoping to walk to Everest Base Camp next March. So,
you're only going to get wet crossing the channel.
I'm not with you.
If you're walking to Everest Base Camp, aren't you going to get wet crossing the channel?
That's Paul's attempt at humour. So just feel free to ignore that. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure.
You're not walking all the way there, then.
I'm not sure if. No, I mean, it starts. Well, it starts in Kathmandu.
Thank you. Yeah, I was trying to work out where you're walking from.
It's obvious I'm not going to be walking all the way to Everest Base Camp.
You never know.
You know, from Thanet. So I'm really excited about that.
It's going to be good. When
you're
doing it,
it's not something I've done before. You know, raising money on a kind of serious level, and I wanted something. It's very easy to get wrapped up in work, isn't it, day to day, and kind of nothing else matters, or not that nothing else matters, but it's all consuming. When you run your own business, it really is all consuming, and I felt it was important to find a bit more balance in my life, so I'm excited about that.
And when are you doing it?
March. Cool. March next year. So
March 2020?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
So you've got a bit of time to raise the money.
Well, yeah, I need to raise quite a bit. So it gives me a little bit of time to think about some activities.
How many miles is it, Martin?
It's not that many. It's 130 kilometres round trip. You come back, I think, in about a third as long as it takes you to get there, because you need to acclimatise, obviously. Yeah. So they take you up slow and bring you back quick.
It's downhill on the way back, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What sort of training do you have to do before?
Very little, I hope.
Okay.
I'm focusing on trying to lose a bit of weight, because I've said to myself, look, what is the point in carrying 20 kilos of excess weight with you on a trip like that. So shed that first and then start thinking about training, I think, later in the year. So,
yeah. Well, I won't go into any of my fundraising activities because they're all embarrassing.
Oh, okay. No, well, I've seen you in a pink tutu. I did
a four-hour Zumba session with the Minister for Sport, Culture and Media, Tracy Crouch, whilst dressed in a pink tutu. Yeah,
Jules has got a photo of that, I know.
Which she brings out on a very regular basis.
It's time to get the pink tutu photo out again.
Please. It shows you as well how the internet can be a dodgy place. I did a radio show. I stood in on a radio show for a friend of mine on a radio station in New York, a business show. So, of course, it was the first time I'd done it. And somebody rang into the show and said, I've just Googled you. Do you often wear a pink tutu? No. It could have been worse. They could have found the other one.
Wonder what their motivation was.
Well, yeah, they could have found my other fundraising activity, which is when I had all my body hair removed whilst being in a shop window in Whitstable.
Okay. A waxing?
No, I had a waxing in a shop window in Whitstable.
That
yes.
wasn't Serenity Becker that did that, was
no,
it?
No, it wasn't. Oh, it was a lady called Ruth Gradus and in her shop, and it was for breast cancer. But I had to lay in the window while they removed every piece of body hair on me. It was excruciatingly painful and very embarrassing because there was a crowd of about 1,000 people stood outside staring through the window while it was happening. We raised a significant amount of money, but my
you are brave, aren't you? I mean,
yeah,
what's that
stupid is the word you're looking for.
That kind of that sort of carefree kind of attitude that you used to have. You don't do anything like that anymore.
I'm too old now, aren't I?
You've got far too sensible.
I'm too old now.
Far too sensible.
And listen, anyway, look, we want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors, who are the lovely folks at My Careers Options. My Careers Options provide a platform for primarily young people, but it can be used by anyone, to ascertain what their best and most likely career options are. So it's especially useful for young people who can sit and do it with their parents if they want, or a teacher, and go over their traits and abilities and transferable skills, and then it gives them 10 options of different careers that would probably suit them, and then they can find out what the requirements of those careers are from a job point of view, qualification point of view, how efficacious the job is in terms of, you know, is it a growing job area or not, and what the average salaries are. So it's a really useful platform. My Careers Options, thank you for sponsoring this week's show. Do check them out.
Brilliant. Well done, guys. There's an awful lot going on, isn't there? I mean, an awful lot. It's like, you know, everybody's kind of doing something, whether it be networking or workshop or seminar or whatever. So we've got quite a lot of that to read out.
We've got a lot of events to read out. I do want to hear from you, though, the businesses out there in the southeast of England. You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You could, in fact, call me if you really wanted to on 01233 220035. That's Ashford 01233 220035. You could email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with me live on air is to tweet me and use the hashtag BBunkerBarry. That was a pointed one because luckily I saw a tweet earlier from Barry that didn't have the BBunker hashtag in it, but I did see it. But Barry, if you don't put the hashtag in, the chances are we won't find it. Yeah. So do that. Yeah. VanillaWeb@BBunker.
Great.
So do you want to kick off by...
On?
Yeah, do you want to read something?
I will.
Go ahead.
So let's start with our good friends at Kent Space, who are our hosts, our studio hosts here today. So Kent Space at the Electroset building in Ashford have got their monthly networking this Wednesday evening. So it starts at 5:30 p.m. There's refreshments and nibbles provided. It's free of charge. It's usually a cracking night, and Sue and Vicky really look after everybody. And I think this week they've got the new branch manager for Metro Bank in Ashford that's recently launched, doing a quick talk and presentation. So if you'd like to come along to Kent Space this Wednesday, please do.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from Me Now Co. That's their Twitter handle, Me Now Co, Me Now Co. And they say, Business Bunker, could we have a shout out for our Canterbury Retail Networking event this evening? And the details are attached. It's called Together Canterbury. It's this evening from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. It's a free retail business networking where you can share, collaborate and grow. And it's at Warmborough College, which is 18 Lower Bridge Street in Canterbury. If you want to find out more, you could email Barry at info@menow.co.uk. And he's gone for a double whammy here as well. He's also said, can I have a shout out for Marketing AM? That's a Twitter handle, Marketing_AM, for the lovely Amy for her monster swim. So massive, massive well done. We were just talking about fundraising. Well, Amy McManus of Marketing AM, AM Marketing, has just completed a charity swim that was epic. So do give both of those a follow, please.
Well done, Amy. I'm going to put two of our studio guests on the spot because Rachel and Gareth have got events coming up. And I'm going to start with Gareth. Gareth, you've got one coming up. Can you remember when it is?
Luckily, I checked.
He does this deliberately, you know, Gareth. You know,
I've known him too long.
The best way of handling this is going, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, you're organising an event for us, Martin.
Yeah.
Third of April, 10 o'clock, it's called the Hearty Breakfast. It's at our offices in Maidstone, 1 London Road. And it's a breakfast for the Heart of Kent Hospice. And it's to kind of kick off the Free Will Month that we're part of every year and have been. So you can come along, ask us some questions about wills and estates. And there are some free appointments left, which you can come and sign up for if you turn up on the day.
Brilliant. And the emphasis is definitely on hearty breakfast, because I came along last year and the selection of pastries and, fruit, and it was unbelievable.
Yeah, no one ever eats at these things. And I mean, it's great. My kids love me after them because I go home with full trays. But we really want people to come along hungry, please,
yes,
for breakfast.
Yeah. So don't have breakfast before you get there.
Except you, Martin, because you're on the 5 and 2. Yeah? And we know that.
It's on a Wednesday, Paul. So
it's a 2 day.
I'm back on the food on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Black pudding?
No
fry ups.
Sorry, no, Lidl don't do black pudding, as far as I can tell.
Right, so how do people book on for that? I think there's an Eventbrite booking link, isn't there?
Yeah, it's on Eventbrite, or you can get to it through our Facebook page, our Twitter page, or LinkedIn, which is just SNS Law. I think it's SNS _law.
It is indeed, yeah. Brilliant, well done. Now, Rachel, over to you, quickfire. There's something happening at Kent Spaces' sister site in Lordswood in Chatham, isn't there, this Thursday, I believe?
There is, yes. Medway Council are doing an event, Workplace Health, and you can check the link at workplacehealth@medway.gov.uk to book on. And it's a coffee morning, really, so that the people at Medway are going to be there for you to talk to about any
health concerns.
Mm-hmm. More about workplace well-being, really, rather than health concerns. Sorry, mm-hmm. I was trying to think of the right way of phrasing it. And then we're going to be there as well, just for if any businesses are looking at growing and want some free money.
Grant funding. Brilliant. Okay, so that's this Thursday from 8:30 to 10:30 at Kent Space in Lordswood.
Fantastic, thank you. I want to tell you about an event that's happening in Tenterden. It's the Ashford Invictus Singers, and they are proudly presenting a concert in aid of CARM, that's C-A-R-M. CARM is a charity that supports older people living in the rural community. And the concert's to be held at St Mildred's Church in Tenterden on Saturday the 23rd of March at 7:30. It's £10 a ticket, which includes refreshment, and you can either pay on the door or you can ring them on Ashford 01233 758 122. That's 01233 758 122 and pre-book your tickets. Saturday the 23rd of March, 7:30 at St Mildred's Church in Tenterden.
Brilliant. Now, the Marlow Theatre are holding one of their fabulous networking lunches again. So it's Warhorse time again. So every spring, Warhorse rolls into town, or gallops or canters into town, pardon the pun. And it's happening again. It's on Friday the 8th of March. It's 12 o'clock till 2:30. And it's a great opportunity. I went to this last year to walk around backstage, see all the puppets, see how it actually works, because it is an incredible show. And it's just launched again at the Marlow. So this is a networking lunch, obviously, for businesses. Friday the 8th of March, 12 to 2:30, marlowtheatre.com. They've got their own business events website and page, so you can book on there. I think it's about £16. But it's a fabulous lunch. Meet the cast, see all the puppets, and have a good walk around the stage.
Fantastic. Had a tweet from Jobs in Kent that says, hello, Vanilla Web and Martin. Can we have a Business Bunker shout out, please, for our free Jobs in Kent Medway Careers Fair, which is taking place on March the 14th at the St. George Hotel. Find your ideal career, 10-minute workshops, meet local employers and much, much more. All the details, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Medway Jobs. Do check it out. Totally free event. Loads of things happening. Loads of local employers. Get there.
I'm going to give a shout out for one of our own events that we've got coming up.
Are you?
Yes.
Anyway, that's enough of that. Let's move on. So
we were approached by the FSB and our good friend Alison, FSB Connect, recently to create an after hours. We've called it After Six to avoid any confusion with other networking events that may be taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Networking event. And it's a free to attend event. And we've done that in collaboration with the Ashford International Hotel, with the FSB ourselves, and also the Kent MS Therapy Centre as well.
Okay.
So this is taking place, our first event is taking place on Wednesday the 20th of March at the Ashford International Hotel, and it's really just an open networking. Ashford doesn't tend to be particularly well catered for when it comes to evening networking events and networking events generally for some reason. So we'd love to see you there. There will be a guest speaker on the night, but it really is an opportunity to meet businesses that are based in and around the Ashford area and network and make some new connections. So there is an Eventbrite booking link for that again. It's After Six, free monthly Ashford networking.
Fantastic. Good stuff. Do you know what?
Quick fire that was, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah.
Guest?
Should we have some tunage?
Tunage. Okay.
Yeah, should we have some tunage?
Come on then.
This is probably a little bit me, but it might be a little bit you.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Do you use social media for your business? Do you understand all things digital? No? Then come to ZC Live. Business owner and TV commentator Zoe Cairns will host a day full of great content for local businesses, free workshops, inspiring speakers, networking opportunities, top marketing tips, the latest trends. And it's all free. Make your digital marketing more effective with ZC Live, Friday, May the 31st at Strood Academy. Book your free place now at zclive.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, the 26th of February. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous, Martin Wett.
Welcome back, everybody.
Cool. Good.
Lots going on.
Yeah. Bit of monkeys there in celebration of a life well lived by Peter Tork. Mm. Yeah. Cool. And we were reminiscing because we're all of an age. No, we're not. In the studio about the banana splits.
Yes.
For those of you that remember such a thing.
Yeah. Well, you were probably watching it with your kids at the time, and we were the age, well, whilst we were the age of your kids.
So. There was no call for that, was there, Rachel? There was absolutely no call for that whatsoever.
How old's Martin this year?
Yeah. That would be 50-year-old Martin.
So long ago we mentioned.
Yeah. That would be Martin, who's 50.
50 years young, but lots of mileage.
Mm, absolutely.
Right. Let's crack on, because we've got lots to get through.
Yeah, and at your age, you can't last long, can you?
No. Okay. There's an IT Academy launch this Thursday. It's 7 till 9pm. It's at Bucknell Park. So this is our good friends, Ben Leach from BLIT Solutions.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Ben.
Yeah. And Joe Humphrey from Origin Training. So both been on the show, I think, previously, haven't they?
Yes,
so,
I have, yeah.
Actually, Joe's still due to come on, so we'll welcome her on shortly. But the whole point of this really is to help business owners, particularly kind of micro business owners, to upskill in terms of their IT skill set. And they're going to be focusing on things like ransomware and malware attacks and how to kind of protect your business from that, but also giving an overview of Office 365. And I know we've discussed it before, but, you know, with the imminent removal of support for Windows 7 this year, they're going to be focusing in on Windows 10 as well and how to kind of upgrade to that as well later on. So these are going to be monthly sessions. There is an Eventbrite booking link. The first session is this Thursday, 7 till 9, and it's Kent IT Academy launch tickets on Eventbrite.
Fantastic.
Good luck with that, guys.
Mm, yeah, good stuff. I want to tell you about two more workshops that are coming up shortly. There's an Advanced Social Media Masterclass presented by Alistair Frost, and that's taking place on the 25th of April at the Village Hotel in Maidstone. And then there's a Digital Marketing Strategy Masterclass with the fantastic Mr. David Shaw, and that's taking place on the 14th of May, also at the Village Hotel. If you want to find out more about what's involved in those workshops or to book your place, if you go to www.bestbusinessevents.co.uk, you can find out all about them.
Brilliant. Another friend of Business Bunker, Tracy Westall from Pecunia.
Oh, hello, Tracy. Yeah.
The credit management specialists.
Mm.
So Tracy and Kevin are going to be running a credit control for SMEs training day on Tuesday the 19th of March, and it's 9:30 to 4:30. It's at the Chatham Historic Dockyard. And what they're really going to be doing is giving you, the business owner, or the person that's responsible for chasing up customers with regard to, you know, non-payment of invoices, for example, all the tools that you need in order to do that effectively. Mm. And that's everything from looking at your terms and conditions, for example, through to, you know, looking at debtor days and understanding, you know, when payments are due, and actually having I think a lot of the problem lies in having the confidence to pick up the phone and ask people to pay you for the work that you've done.
It's always difficult for small businesses, isn't it? Because you have a lot of small businesses have very few customers, and they're scared to antagonize their customers because they don't want to lose them. But exactly. The way I look at it is, if you're not being paid, they're not really customers.
No, exactly. That's a good point. Well made. Yeah. So they're going to give you all the tools that you need in order to do that confidently and get on top of your cash flow, which may be a problem if you're not getting paid, clearly.
Yep.
So there is an Eventbrite booking link. It's Eventbrite credit-control for SMEs tickets. So please do book on and improve your cash flow.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. I've had a tweet from Athelbray. The lovely folks at Athelbray said, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, can we have a shout out, please? Four of our brilliant trainers have February birthdays. Can we have a happy birthday for David, Mandy, Janice and Hillary? Different ages, but some wearing better than others. Ooh, not getting involved in that argument. Mentioning no names, but David isn't as glam as the rest. It's okay, he's family, apparently. Oh. No, that's not okay, Kate. It is not okay, trust me on this. Big happy birthday to all four of you, and a big well done to the folks at Athelbray. While I'm talking about Athelbray, I ought to mention as well that Athelbray are staging a quiz night on the 4th of April at the lovely Chilston Hotel just outside Lenham. It's only 25 quid for a table of between 6 and 8. Now, you will need 8 people. A minimum. You will need 8 people for the simple reason the Business Bunker team are there and we're going to win and you need all the help you can get.
Brilliant.
4th of April. See you there. You're going to lose, but hey, it's
so
worth it.
Who is in the Business Bunker team then? What fonts of knowledge have you managed to recruit for that one?
Me, Bird, uh-huh. Amanda.
Right.
I can't remember who else. Oh, Gemma and Bjorn. There's 6 of us, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah. So you put in a team in? Yeah.
No.
Come on. It would do you good to get beaten thoroughly.
I measure my my kind of overall knowledge of all things by tuning into Mastermind in the evenings. And I have to say, when they had the older generation Masterminders on recently, I think they were doing a sort of series of kind of previous graduates. I did quite well. But the current crop I'm talking about University Challenge. The current kind of crop of undergraduates, they are a league above anything that I'm capable of. So
University Challenge, not Mastermind.
Exactly, University Challenge. Yeah. I know my limitations, so no, I won't be getting involved in that.
Okay, I thought you were going to do Mastermind. Yeah. I thought you were going to do your specialist subject.
Well, actually, the general knowledge stuff on that.
Tonight, Magnus, I'm talking about...
It's hit and miss, isn't
it? The banana splits.
Some people get lucky and others don't. It's a bit weird, Mastermind. But anyway, calling all stressed out accountants. So if you're an accountant or you work in a firm of accountants, I would imagine you're breathing a heavy sigh of relief. You may have even felt the need to take some holiday on the back of the self-assessment deadline passing at the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
Deb Smith at Carp Acacio Creative Arts. She's another friend of the Business Bunker. She was on the show...
Oh, about 2 months ago.
2 months ago now, yeah. She runs creative art sessions for businesses that need to reconnect with their staff. And crucially encourage some kind of fresh thinking within their business. Mm. And she's targeted accountants because she knows they've had their head down over the last couple of months. And they may well need to kind of do a bit of team building on the back of that and brainstorm some kind of creative thinking for how to move their business forwards. Mm. So that's Carp Acacio, and it's Deb Smith. And you can contact her at debs@carpacacio.co.uk. And Debs will come in and work with you to create a creative workshop to actually come up with some fresh thinking in your business, which
Fantastic.
I think is a great idea.
Fantastic. Yeah, it is. It
through
is.
The power of artwork. And
yeah,
then,
absolutely.
You know, depending on whether or not you can actually draw or paint, you may even produce a piece of artwork on the day that you think is worthy of hanging on your office wall.
They're accountants. They can sort it out.
Yeah,
of course. They'll get paid for it somehow. They can put it down as expenses or something.
Painting by numbers.
That's it. That's the chap. Yeah. No, it's good. Good idea. I had a tweet from the lovely folks at Telcare, the telecommunications provider over there on the City Estate in Medway, who's saying, enjoying listening to the show today. And big hello to the Business Bunker team. So thank you to Lisa, Dave, and the team at Telcare. Yeah. You can do one email.
Yes.
And then we're going to talk to Gareth.
Okay. Quick shout out for some up and coming first aid training dates with Diagrama Foundation. Diagrama were on the show with us, Julie Firth, not that long ago as well. So the beauty of the first aid training that Diagrama offer is they are a charity, they are a registered charity. So any money that's generated commercially through their first aid training gets ploughed straight back into the charity, which is really, really good. So it's a very worthwhile cause. They have various up-and-coming introductory and also up to kind of level 3 emergency first aid at work courses available. All of the details for that are all on their Supply My Business website. So if you are thinking about investing in some first aid training in the workplace, talk to Diagrama because all of the money gets ploughed back into their charitable cause.
Fantastic. Email. I'm still waiting for an email to read from my pile.
You want me to read one of these emails?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's give a shout out for Terry. Terry Botfield.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We've got some Marsh networking over coffee happening. It's on Wednesday, the 6th of March. It's 10 till 12, and it's at the St. Paul's Arms down in New Romney. There is, you can actually book via the Kent Business Radio website, or you can have a look on Terry's own website. You and I went to the launch of that.
We did indeed, yeah. He's done really well with it.
A couple of years ago,
yeah.
So it's always a lovely gathering. So if you're kind of based in and around the Marsh, or perhaps even in East Sussex, and you're tuning in, great opportunity for you to meet and connect.
It's grown and grown. Terry's done a fabulous job.
Yeah, he does a breakfast now as well.
And he has the best Twitter handle of all for me.
At TD Botty.
It's TD Botty. Mm. So give him a follow on the Twitter, TD Botty. Yeah.
So well done, Terry. Onwards and upwards.
Do you know what? I think it's about time we spoke to somebody sensible.
I do.
Yeah, it would be really nice to talk to somebody sensible. So we're going to talk to our first guest. It's an absolute privilege to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Gareth Scott of SNS Law.
Thank you very much, Gareth. Hello, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you.
Did you say for the first time?
Yeah.
On the Business Bunker? Because you have, SNS have been on before.
SNS a bit, no, but Gareth hasn't.
Gareth hasn't.
My first time.
Well done.
Yeah, no, Gareth hasn't. SNS Law have been on many years ago.
Catherine, the lovely Catherine came on. She reminded me of that.
She
earlier.
Did, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, they've been on a couple of times, but over a long period of time. But it's the first time that Gareth's been on, so they've sent somebody sensible.
Welcome, Gareth.
Yeah.
Welcome.
So it's an absolute pleasure, Gareth, to welcome you onto the show. Tell us a little bit about SNS Law to start with.
Yeah, sure. Well, we are specialist dispute resolution and dispute avoidance solicitors. So we set ourselves up about 4 years ago now to try and offer a service that was a bit more approachable than your kind of average solicitor. It's, I think we all get a bit fed up of people in expensive suits kind of looking down on us and patronising us a little bit. And we specifically wanted to not be that. We wanted our clients to understand that, we're business owners too. So we understand the trials and tribulations of running a business, and we're kind of here to help. We're not just here to sort of charge money and walk away from it.
It's interesting, isn't it? And you've kind of hit a nail there that the professional services sector, primarily law, accounting, things like that, are a sector that are now having to cope with changes in the social and business environment that are affecting all of us. But professional service firms have been slow in the past to change.
Solicitors, we love hanging on to our old traditions. Mm-hmm. It took us a long time to stop writing in Latin.
Exactly.
So you do, you've got to move with the times, and you've got to realise that it's not the same professional services world that it used to be. And actually, it's not a bad thing that you don't just get that kind of automatic trust from clients that you sort of used to get. You kind of have to build that and earn that from your clients now. And I think there aren't enough, not just solicitors, but, other professional services, but certainly in my profession, there aren't enough of us that probably accept that and realise that and realise it is about building that relationship. And actually, the more effort you put into that, the better the relationship and the longer the relationship you can have with those clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right as well, for good or bad, people aren't so as accepting as they used to be. You know, once upon a time, you'd engage a lawyer, they'd do whatever they do, they'd send you a whopping great bill for all the hours that they spent opening letters or whatever. I'm a bit cynical now, but you know what I mean. And but you didn't, you might go, "Phew, that was a bit steep," but you didn't really challenge it. You didn't really go and shop around. Once you felt comfortable with someone, you stuck with them. That's not the case anymore. People do shop around, people do look at things, people will argue, people will ask for different rates of pay, because that's what we do in the world of business these days. So it has forced a change for those smart enough to want to change. There's still hundreds and hundreds of firms that rely on the fact that they were founded by Mr. So-and-so in 1767 and haven't really changed very much since. But the interesting thing about what you just said, Gareth, is that SNS kind of specialise in this resolution area, this and dispute area and dispute resolution, which is an interesting concept again, because it sounds to me like what you're doing is trying to move things away from the traditional way of handling something, where somebody upsets me, so I issue a lawsuit and we all go to court and shout at each other for a couple of years, and then the judge or magistrate decides to, you know, award it one way or the other.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we speak about this in our office quite often, and traditionally we would have called ourselves litigation solicitors, and of course we do litigation, but a lot of it is about trying to find ways around that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's about explaining to a client that they need to compromise.
Yeah.
And an awful lot, the general rule is, when something has got to court, when it's in front of a judge at trial, it's A, out of your hands, and B, something's gone wrong. It doesn't mean anyone's done something wrong, but it's gone wrong to get there, because you haven't been able to sort of apply those usual standards of kind of stepping back and being objective about it, or thinking about, you know, a commercial and sensible kind of way out.
Yeah. So is the key word then, Gareth, mediation? Is that kind of increasingly the favoured option?
Absolutely, one of the ways of doing it. I mean, an awful lot of our cases get negotiated to settlement, or they get mediated to a settlement, and a lot of it sometimes it's done by correspondence, sometimes it's done by arranging a formal meeting with a mediator who kind of runs between the parties and gets the sort of the juices flowing and puts not pressure on the parties, but gets them to realise that it can be done now and ended now.
Because I mean, I'm not a lawyer or anything like it, I've just been sued a lot. But one of the issues is, if it does come to court, quite often the judge will say, did you attempt to mediate this? Did you attempt to negotiate this beforehand? Because you may want to comment on this or not, but I see so many people, when faced with a legal situation, who don't really listen very well to the lawyers about the law. They take umbrage at what they see as a slight against them, so they get very angry that someone's done something to them, and I go, it's not fair, but the law doesn't look at things like that. The law looks at things based on the law, not on whether it's fair or not.
Oh, absolutely. And that's sometimes the skill and the subtlety in what we do. Law is not brain surgery. That's the thing. We can't pretend that we are cleverer than anyone else. We're not. We've just happened to have some qualifications in a certain area. But a lot of the subtlety, it's about your experience and your knowledge, and being prepared to have those difficult conversations with your clients as well, and to sit down and say, look, you may have what you believe is a cast iron case, but here is what I see the issues are. But also, can your business weather this?
Yeah.
If you take this, it could be 2 years before it goes, gets in front of a judge, for various reasons, but there aren't as many judges, that the system can't deal with these cases. It could take a long time. And can your business weather this, or is it worth making a commercial, sensible decision now to walk away from it? And the flip side of that is, it's difficult sometimes saying to a client, when they say, but I'm absolutely right, I'm 100% right. And you say, I have to sit there and say, yes, you are, but we have to think about whether or not you want to commit the time and the money. Because once you do get in front of a judge, you can do everything you can, and on that day in front of that judge, you don't know, and it's out of your hands. And it's trying to offer a client the opportunity of certainty sometimes for a negotiated settlement. And your clients need to trust you when you tell them that. They need to believe in what you're telling them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a classic example of that. 20-odd years ago, I'm one of those rare beasts that actually won an industrial tribunal as an employer, which hardly ever happens.
Yeah.
But one is not a very good way of putting it, because it wasted 2 years of my life and cost me a fortune in legal fees. And of course, in an industrial tribunal, there are no, the magistrates found against the litigant, but there's no reward of my costs or anything.
It's not just the business though either. It's the stress that human personally.
Yeah.
I've been through it, and the letters used to come on a Friday morning, so your head was in bits for the weekend.
Yeah,
you don't sleep. It's that kind of sickness in the pit of your stomach.
Yeah.
And especially if you've got employees, and you've all got mortgages to pay, but you've got employees and they rely on you. They make life decisions based on the fact that you say, I can offer you a job and I can pay you. And sometimes people forget to look at it in the round. But you're right in relation to, employment tribunals. You don't get your costs back. I mean, I had a client a while ago, and she came to me after the employment part for other things, but she'd won £1 million in an employment tribunal against her ex-employer, which is an extraordinary amount of money, but her costs were 1.25 million. and she didn't get any of that back. So she was actually in debt having won. And, you know, that doesn't show the legal profession in a particularly good light. You know, somebody's lined their pockets as a result of that. And that's that kind of thing that we want to avoid. And more often than not, we find ourselves advising our clients not to use our services. You know, don't spend money on this.
Can I steer the conversation in a slightly different direction? Because I've been reading the BBC news today, and it appears that Theresa May well offer MPs the option to delay Brexit because they may ultimately not be a deal, which obviously isn't necessarily in anybody's interest. So they're talking about now giving MPs the option to vote for a delay rather than a no-deal Brexit. But I know that you're increasingly being approached by employers who are not uncertain, but they're taking very specific steps to kind of mitigate against the risk of a no-deal Brexit. So tell us a little bit more about that, Gareth. What's going on in the marketplace?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen a movement recently towards, it's not quite panic setting in, but it's this lack of certainty. And employers are sort of wondering, you know, what's lying ahead in the very, very near future. And they're thinking, how can we try and future-proof ourselves? And, you know, when you read in the papers, you read about all the big companies that are doing it, the multinationals. They're taking huge steps to separate themselves into separate entities, have a European operating entity and an entity in the UK. And that necessitates, you know, cutting down the headcount in their UK business. But the same decisions are being made by local businesses. They're having to have a look and think, where can we streamline? How can we protect ourselves in case it all goes wrong? Because nobody knows whether everything's going to fall off, you know, a precipice. I mean, you know, you could take up, you know, my business, for example. We might find ourselves in a position where suddenly everybody wants to sue everyone for money that they think they're due because there's no other money coming in. We could be absolutely swamped with work, but it could fall off a cliff because suddenly nobody's got any free cash to use any professional services. And that it's that lack of certainty that we're seeing is affecting individuals. So we're being asked to advise a lot of individuals who are being made redundant, who are asked to have a look at settlement agreements, because their businesses are trying to mitigate the unknown factors of Brexit that may or may not happen, which is a really bizarre situation to be in. But it's a situation that all business owners have to deal with. It's a
bizarre one, isn't it? Because that then begs the question, well, are these people surplus to requirements in your business? Currently, I mean, if you can make them redundant, or if you can offer them a compromise agreement to effectively, you know, terminate their employment in your business, what are they currently doing? Are they not important to you?
Exactly. Well, I mean, there's two issues here, isn't there? There's this whole shenanigans about the nonsense around Brexit and everything that's going on around it, which people have completely lost the plot over because everybody's rushing off in all different directions without any thought. 86% of businesses did no businesses outside of the UK. Yeah. So apart from a few that may be affected by supply lines, there is no real effect from that point of view. It's the general economy that's going to get affected. That's the issue.
Yes. It's going to affect everybody.
And there's nothing
that
an individual business can do to really protect themselves against that. But it's an interesting view on things, but I kind of want to come back to talking about the mediation services that you offer, because I think for me, as a business person, that offers the best kind of resolution, if you can do it, for the run-of-the-mill business issues that you get to face that would normally in the past have taken up a lot of your time going to court, arguing things, spending huge amounts of money to maybe not get very far. And I like the fact that you're kind of doing a lot more in this area, and I want to kind of explore that a little bit if I can.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, it's a hugely growing area in what we do, and we've all spent a lot of time representing clients in mediations. Both myself and John are qualified mediators, and I've done quite a lot of mediations in and around Ashford. I used to volunteer for the Ashford Mediation Service, they used to ask me to deal with the ones that were the kind of particularly complex ones, mostly things like property disputes, boundary disputes, those kind of things.
You moved your fence.
You'd be amazed how much 6 inches can make a massive difference.
Party walls.
Those are always.
I know a joke about that, but I don't think I'll do that on air.
But they're always the ones that go the whole way.
Yeah.
And no matter, because if we go back to businesses and mediating business disputes, it's business owners that are very often the ones who are more prepared to sit around a table and say, right, I need to be practical. Mm. I need to think of a way out of this to carry on doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Because every penny I spend on this, every minute I spend on this is taking me away from doing the thing that I love and that I set up my business for. Yeah. And if you take, we all know, if you take your eye off your business, before you know it, it's gone. Mm. Those people are a lot more open to it. And it's getting them around the table as early as you can to get these things settled as quickly as you can.
Can I ask a question here? And there may not be an answer to this. If two parties come to mediation, is there any legal strength in the fact that they've come to mediation? You know, so basically, if you mediate between us and I go, okay, then, you know, we'll agree to split it 50-50 or whatever. Is that a legal enforceable thing? I mean, what happens if the other party goes, I'm not doing that really. I just said that while we were in the meeting.
Yeah. Well, so everything that happens in mediation is confidential. But if you come to an agreement in mediation, you ask the parties to effectively reduce that agreement into writing. And it's a matter for them, not the mediator, to decide how best to do that. So it could be by way of a contract. It could be by way of a deed. Depending on what the type of the dispute is. And it's that document and agreement that you end up with, which is the enforceable thing. So if someone reneges on it after that, great. But, you can go to the courts, and it always sounds, you know, that's always the way through. But you can go to the courts and ask them to hold that person to that agreement. That's a lot quicker and cheaper than fighting the way to the courts. If you think you've come to an agreement at mediation and you walk away from the mediation, you've got nothing written down, then actually, no, you haven't got anything that's enforceable. And not only have you got nothing that's enforceable, it's confidential and can't be mentioned to anybody. Right. You can't even raise it in court in almost all circumstances until after judgment has been given. Right. And then it might be relevant to things like costs.
Yeah.
But it can be, and also because mediation is confidential as well, it allows particularly businesses as well to keep disputes out of the you know, public knowledge. No.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because that can do as much, if not more, damage to a business just finding out that they are heavy-handed in debt collection or that they're not providing services. You know, if there's a judgment against them that says they misled their biggest client, that can kill your business.
But how does the process start then? I mean, do I come to you as a business that feels aggrieved at something that's happened in doing business with another business and say to you, I've got a grievance here, I don't necessarily want to go to court, or you might advise me that mediation is the best route, but the other party may not even be aware of my grievance until it's raised. So how does the whole process start?
No, sure. Well, I mean, it starts in the way that everything starts. I mean, someone will come to us and we'll sit down with them. We'll invariably ask them to provide everything they've got, all their documentation, all the correspondence they've got, and we'll analyse the position for them. And at that point, we'll say, look, these are the options we've got. What we've got to do is we've got to raise this with the other side. Mm. More often than not, people come to us when that's already been raised and they haven't got anywhere with it.
Yeah.
So they're coming to us and saying, right, I'm tearing my hair out, I'm not getting anywhere. Mm. But ideally, and the way this works more smoothly is that the other side are also engaging solicitors at the same time, because solicitors understand A, what the court expects, what the rules are, and can deal with these things in a slightly more kind of dispassionate way. So you can all agree very quickly with other solicitors that we need to get this dealt with and we need to arrange a mediation. And actually then it's just a case of identifying a mediator and a date. And you can do that within a week or within a couple of days.
Is your advice to businesses then to raise the issue with the third party in the first instance? If you don't get any joy there in terms of any response, or, you know, you may even get a letter back from their solicitors, then obviously to come to commit, you know, to employ your own solicitors to then kind of take up the baton on your behalf. Is that how it works?
But the one thing I would say is that businesses need to be careful not to go off half-cocked on these things, because often they will raise it on their own behalf, but in such an inflammatory way that it becomes very difficult to pull it back from the brink. So what we'd much rather, particularly businesses we work with, is that they picked up the phone to us and said, look, I've got this issue, what do I do? Mm. We will happily tell them what they need to do before they need to start incurring costs with us. Yeah. But we can sometimes just get them to climb down a little bit from that, very, because you feel naturally aggrieved. Look, you owe me this amount of money. Yes. I now can't pay my bills this month. And getting people to climb down from that and it can maintain the relationship enough to get people around a table. I mean, you don't have to mediate in the same room.
Yeah.
You can have a mediator going, I've had mediations where the parties will not even look at each other. Yeah. But if you get them in the same building...
Not
anymore. But if you get them in the same building and in separate rooms, the power of that pressure of time and the fact that actually this can be over today if we're just a bit sensible about it. And if you get a good mediator who's going between the parties and just helping them think a little bit more outside the box.
So keep your emotions in check if you are going to approach the third party on your own in the first instance. And then as quickly as you can after that employer.
And keep it to the facts as well. Yeah. None of this, you know, you've ripped me off, you've done this. You know.
So you're not a big fan of direct action then, like we see so many builders taking when they haven't been paid. They drive their bulldozer through the front door.
No.
Of the wrong hotel.
Or they rip out the windows that they've installed whatever
it is.
They
go and take out all the steel work and the roof falls down.
I mean, where do people stand on that? You know, if I've done a job, I haven't been paid, and then I decide to drive my bulldozer through your front door, am I kind of legally entitled to do that or not?
In short, no.
Right.
I mean, there are, depending as well on your terms and conditions, you may well have within your terms and conditions retention of title clauses, which say that unless you've paid me for this service, you can come and... to me. But you can't just, you know, if... Let's say you provided steel beams. They've been used to hold up a building. You can't just go and rip that out and let the building fall down. No. You take the risk of all the damage you cause. You can't. But if they're lying on a building site and you've got, you know, there are steps that can be taken, but we would never advise anyone to do that off their own bat, because the problems you can cause are... they're just myriad, and they can be phenomenally expensive because the knock-on effects of doing it and taking those steps wrong can be crippling.
And that's exactly what you were counselling just now, isn't it, Gareth? That says, even though this is quite often a highly emotionally charged situation, you really don't need to dive in there and start doing things. And that's the problem. So many people get so emotional about it, understandably, but they make irrational decisions based on that emotional overload.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can find, I mean, a building site is a perfect example. You know, I've known things where clients who, or let's say a director of a client company, have been so outraged by the way they've been behaved that they've refused to leave a building site. Or that, you know, and then they either make threats, or it's alleged that they've made threats. And before they know it, they've been arrested. And then they've been arrested, it's a very difficult place to come back from.
But could you, would it be unreasonable for you to write that into your terms and conditions? That, you know, that in the event that you don't pay me, I am entitled to come into your premises at my will and actually remove my installation or whatever it is. Could you write that into your terms and conditions?
Is there someone you're thinking about?
I was going to say he's going to be your worst nightmare client. I mean, he's over emotional. Nobody's ready done to go. Anything.
What I'm thinking is, you know, would I want to do business with a client that wasn't prepared to sign my terms and conditions with a clause like that in there? Mm. If they weren't prepared to sign those terms and conditions, what would that say to me? Yeah. Well, it says to me that you may well not pay me, and in which case I don't want to do business with you.
Yeah, and it can work for some businesses, but it's not. You simply can't just put anything you want in. If you don't do this, I'm allowed to do A, B, C, and D.
Right.
And that's why you need to speak to a solicitor about it, and they will advise you as to what's appropriate for your business. And actually, if you could put clauses in that just aren't in any way relevant to your business, which means that you're wasting time and money. And you have to think about, it's never going to be appropriate to have a clause in that says, I can come in and smash down the wall and, you know, take out what's mine and you owe me for the time for doing that. You know?
So don't come at Buster. Sign it here, please.
absolutely not. But there are ways in which you can protect yourself legally by making sure you retain effective ownership of goods that you've handed over that you haven't been paid for.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Gareth, we could talk about this forever, especially with him, because he's on a right warpath now. Really fascinating discussion. Thank you so much for that.
No problem.
If people want to find out more about S&S Law and what you do, what's the best way to do that?
Well, they can head to our website, which is snslaw.co.uk, or get in touch with us through Twitter, which is SNS_law.
Yep.
And you'll be able to ask us any questions you want there.
Fantastic. And there is a link to the S&S Law website on the Kent Business Radio website. That will stay there forever on today's show, number 416. So do check that out if you need to. For the moment, Gareth, thank you so much for that. A really fascinating discussion about mediation in the law. Thank you.
Thanks.
We're fast approaching the hour when we join the newsroom. I've got one tweet that I want to read.
Are they playing this week's news or will it be last week's news?
Well, we never know. We will see.
Oh, okay.
We've got a tweet from New Appointments Group who say, Vanilla Webb and him, could we have a huge Business Bunker shout-out, please, for our super recruiters at New Appointments Group in both Sittingbourne and Sandwich? Check out our Facebook page to read our, frankly, amazing customer reviews. Best wishes, Paul and Martin, from the show, and that's from Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Andrew Cassells, the lovely folks at New Appointments Group, one of the stalwarts of the recruitment market in Kent.
Based down in Discovery Park.
They're based in Sittingbourne and Discovery Park.
And yeah. I've got a link for that, actually, because Venom Tech have been on. In fact, Steve's Scientific Source, having great fun with at Venom Research, at Chantilly Bakes, and at Discovery Park with our new Venom Chili Cheese Bread. So Chantilly's is the on-site bakery stroke cafeteria, I believe, down at Discovery Park. And it sounds like Venom Tech and Steve's Scientific Source have developed a new Venom Chili Cheese Bread, which sounds delicious.
I've got some of Steve's Scientific Sauce in my kitchen.
You've got some sauce, but as usual, we've got no samples here in the studio, guys, so we can't testify as to its fieriness.
I have, and it's fiery, and it's gorgeous. Yeah. I quickly want to tell you about this. There's a Women in Business lunch taking place at Chilston Park on Wednesday, the 3rd of April, 11:15 to 2:30. The speakers at this event are Belinda Collins and Katie Day. If you want to find out more or to book your place on a Women in Business lunch, go to kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk. Cool. Yeah. But I think we ought to join the Channel Radio newsroom. What do you reckon?
Yes.